Tom Carkelwin, the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, going to be lots of sunshine. We will have a high near 80. Right now in Kenosha, it's 56 degrees, 58 in Burlington, 65, it says, in Milwaukee, and 59 in Racine. For almost an hour, the Racine Unified School Board last night debated how to proceed on proposed revisions to the employee handbook, which the teachers' union opposed, leading to a deferral, pending the superintendent establishing an authentic collaborative process with all the employee groups and then coming back to the board with some recommendations, but at no specific date. Challenged by occasional teacher comments out of the audience, Matt Hanser said, quote, "We are micromanaging our administration.
We have a document we agreed to. The nine of us sat in a room. We agreed to that process. We are backing out on a commitment we've made to our community when we say these are the things we're going to do. And I, at this point in time, this is embarrassing. Any corporation, school district, nonprofit who has to have this sort of debate in front of the community.
Take your comments in the hall, please.
Would not be respected."
Steve Hooper said the collaborative process, more than just the teachers.
"I think everybody on this board at one time or another has said that they're interested in a collaborative type of process, not just a single-handed process. And that has to start with the beginning of the handbook too, not just the addendos. That's where my motion is coming from on this. There's several employee groups in this district, and for this type of change, I feel that everybody needs to have a seat."
Superintendent Lolly Haas kept asking for definitive direction versus what had already been done and pushed back against an early September deadline proposal, given she said all the start of school work that would have to happen at that point.
"So school opens on the 5th, and the whole 2 weeks prior are nothing but administrative and teacher meetings and trainings and sessions that we are all deeply committed to making go well. And there is tremendous planning work to occur to do that, not to mention vacancies that still need to be filled, new hires that need to be onboarded. I just say again that that is not necessarily realistic."
The final vote of 5-4 included no deadline, just the deferral motion and the order to create an authentic collaborative process on revising the employee handbook. A Kenosha teenager drowned after jumping from the North Pier into the harbor Monday evening. Police and fire rescue dispatched about the swimmer struggling with the water currents as he tried for the break wall with a friend. The friend made it back, but the 18-year-old disappeared under the surface. A bystander jumped in for a rescue attempt, but could not find the victim. The Kenosha County Dive Team and the Coast Guard did later locate him, but revival efforts proved unsuccessful. The incident mentioned at the city council meeting by Alderman Scott Gordon, who doesn't understand why life preservers cannot be located along the harbor.
"We have heard reasons why we can't, locally, federally, but I think we need to get some answers on how we can."
Alderman Gordon saying there's a need to do something to stop these incidents from happening every year. The name of the victim has not been released. Racine police identify the victim of a homicide from late Sunday night as 20-year-old Deshaun Jordan of Racine. Officers to reports of gunshots near 16th and Phillips before midnight Sunday. Fire department paramedics told to look for a possible gunshot victim. Jordan then found in the area, died at the scene from his injuries. No arrest made at this point. Police still looking for any information. One of the two teens arrested in connection with the death of Olivia McKay appeared in Kenosha Circuit Court Monday. The charges, hiding a corpse and operating a motor vehicle without owner consent. McKay's body discovered along Louis Sorensen Road in Mount Pleasant the day she was reported missing last month after failing to show up for work. According to the criminal complaint, the cook and 19-year-old Daniel Tate met McKay on Facebook July the 23rd, arranged to meet with her across from Tate's grandmother's home on Sheridan Road. Drove around, group then walked along the lakeshore in Kenosha. Cook said that according to police that he saw Tate put the victim in a chokehold, then hold her face down in the water. Two teens are then accused of putting the victim's body into the trunk of her car and dumping it along the roadway. Tate was in court last Friday. Formal charges in the homicide case are expected on Tuesday. Caledonia's Village Board. No discussion last night approving recommended changes to the existing ordinance on residency for sex offenders. It's a move being made by other communities as well to comply with recent court rulings. Village Attorney Elaine Ekus noting the safe zone would change from 2,500 feet to 1,500 feet to allow more potential housing for sex offenders. said it complies with the decision against the Village of Pleasant Prairie's almost total restrictive ordinance.
Essentially, in that case, the court held that the distance restrictions that Pleasant Prairie had in place of 3,000 feet affected a banishment because it essentially left 10% of the village for sex offenders to reside in, and only 3% of that 10% was residential. That certainly isn't the case with your current ordinance as it exists today, but we are, of course, recommending some changes to the distances that you regulate.
The village will also establish a 3-person appeal board for which there will be a $25 fee to cover administrative costs. Ekus adding to the board, this may not be the only revision of the ordinance, as other court rulings may warrant some additional changes. And the reward for information that may help to find that Racine County woman missing for over a month now is up to $25,000. 59-year-old Lynn Rickard of Kansasville left her home the morning of June the 25th and remains endangered, according to authorities, given that she is mentally ill, needs oxygen, and left her home either in pajamas or without clothes. Intense searches near her residence, as well as in neighboring Dover, Union Grove, and other communities, turning up nothing. A dead crow found in Racine County tests positive for the West Nile virus. Central Racine County Health Department news release says this is the first bird to test positive for the virus in the county since testing began on May the 1st. It means county residents need to make sure to take precautions to avoid mosquito bites. Those mosquitoes can transmit the disease. A call about thick black smoke and flames yesterday morning near Batten Airfield in Racine led to the discovery of two burning vehicles at Jensen's Towing and Wild Rides on North Green Bay Road. A news release indicates the fire department units first on the scene saw the vehicles on fire in the secured yard and had to use bolt cutters to gain access. A 2003 Honda Odyssey, fully involved, declared a total loss. A 2003 Chrysler Pacifica, also damaged by the fire. Cause remains under investigation. Total amount of damage, not necessarily determined. Racine's Finance and Personnel Committee supporting contract talks with the Racine County Economic Development Corporation and Smith Group JJR for engineering services on the West Bluff Streambank Stabilization Project. It's part of the RouteWorks plan for the river corridor from Marquette Street to the lakefront. City purchasing agent Kathy Casper noted this is one of those busy times for companies, which explains why just one bid came back on the RFP.
I'm finding right now that a lot of our vendors, contractors, are a lot busier than they have been in the past. So they're kind of picking and choosing which projects that they want to reply to. We've worked with Smith Group JJR a few times in the past and have been very happy with the results. So they're a very qualified organization.
A Fund for Lake Michigan grant for $95,000 calls for the city to provide about $5,000, but no more than $20,000. Development Director Amy Connolly noting that it also incorporates some related work that can be accomplished. The RouteWorks plan for the West Bluff, that is, includes green space and pathways, among other things. Recommendation goes to the council next week for final approval. A new high school equivalency program got started at Racine County's Workforce Solutions, with the first group of students getting a send-off from the partners that made the program available. The YWCA's 509 HSED program is being offered in Racine County for the first time through a partnership with the county and Gateway Technical College. County Executive Jonathan Delagrave saying the county looks for alternatives to help the 15,000 residents who don't have that high school credential that they truly need.
With a high school credential, this is what we do know. Labor force participation rates will increase by 22%. Medium unit earnings will increase by $4,000 per year. Unemployment and poverty rates, as we know, will decrease over time. Increasing the number of Racine County residents with a high school credential will add to the economic prosperity of Racine County.
Paula Pennebaker, the chief executive of the YW for Southeast Wisconsin, says this differs from other programs because it involves 20 hours of classroom work each week. The initial class in the 509 program has 10 students. A second class is to begin in September with space available for 20 students. And after almost 45 minutes of questions and answers, the Kenosha City Council last night chose former Alderman Bruce Fox to fill the remainder of Kevin Matheson's term in the 8th District, the latter having moved to the Village of Summers. Fox, twice serving on the council in the past, and in his statement to Alderman, noted he has lived in his current home for more than 40 years.
We have seen many changes on our block, starting with us being one of the younger homeowners to now being part of the older group. We love our neighborhood and would like to see the homes and businesses flourish and be maintained properly. I would like the opportunity to work with the council and for the residents of the 8th District, especially during the upcoming budget process.
11 of the aldermen voted for Fox. 3 cast votes for Martin Schierenberg, and Joshua Euler received 1 vote. Fox indicating during the Q&A he wasn't sure at this point if he would run for the full term on the council next spring, said he'll wait and see on that. As for Matheson, well, he's been making noise about running for political office in Summers. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. We keep our newscast there in the local news section and throughout the day. At WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.